The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Well, as a church family, we are obviously reeling from the loss of our brother. Matt's death this week came as a terrible shock that has left us grieving with his family and for his family. It's hard to accept the fact that we won't see him here anymore. It's harder still to fathom what it is like and what this means for Jen and for her children. I think as a church family that probably we all feel at a loss. We don't know what to do, we don't know what to say. But what we can say, and this is not the only thing we can say, but one thing we can say is the Lord is my shepherd. Now right from the outset, as we look at this psalm together, I want you to remember that this shepherd of whom the psalm speaks is Jesus. It was Jesus himself who would later say, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So when we say the Lord is my shepherd, we are talking about Him. We're talking about the Lord of glory. Emmanuel, God with us. One who the book of Colossians says is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, the one by whom all things were created. So we have a very capable shepherd. He's wise. He is strong. And with him, the Bible says, there is nothing impossible. But what comforts David isn't only God's strength or sovereignty or wisdom. It's his character. Now we see this, and we've mentioned this recently before, but we see this in Ezekiel that, and actually repeatedly in Israel's history, that they had shepherds, they had pastors and leaders who failed them. And the promise of Ezekiel is that where men fail them, God wouldn't. Men might not love them, but God loved them. And being the good shepherd, he had said he himself would search them out, search out those who were lost, and he would find them and bring them back. He would bind up the wounded. He would feed them. He would protect them. He would be their shield and their exceeding great reward. And of course, he came as he promised he would. So that's the kind of shepherd that we have. We have one who is entirely different from the shepherds that we find in the Bible who fed only themselves. Now, this shepherd was one who actually laid down his life for the sheep, who was so committed to them, who was so full of love and compassion for them that he would give his life for theirs. So when you say the Lord is my shepherd, you are talking about a good shepherd. He is not only a competent shepherd. He's not only a faithful shepherd and a diligent shepherd. He's a loving shepherd. He loves his sheep. Which is why he says in his word that he seeks out the scattered and the lost. That's why he brings them back to himself. That's why he binds up the wounded. That's why he feeds his people. And as we read in Psalm 23, leads them beside the still waters. Because he loves them. He has compassion on them. Now, there are three things in particular. There's obviously a lot that we could say about this psalm. There's three things in particular that I want you to notice about it. First of all, David does not say, the Lord is a shepherd. He does not say the Lord is the shepherd. He says the Lord is my shepherd. What a marvelous thing to be able to say. To be able to say of Him who is our God, to say of this person who is Jesus Christ, He is mine. It's so personal. But you know, that's also just exactly what God says of us. In Isaiah chapter 43, He says, "You are mine." Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is a shepherd and we are sheep. That's the description we have. But we can actually say by faith that we are His sheep and He is our shepherd. Now, if you remember in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, you know, when a wolf comes, a hireling, the person who's hired to look after the sheep, he flees. He's afraid. And these aren't his sheep. He doesn't have a vested interest in them. He's just a hireling. He doesn't really care for the sheep. But the good shepherd does. And that's why, unlike the hireling, like the one who is hired to do the work for someone else's sheep, the good shepherd doesn't run. He doesn't forsake us. That's why the good shepherd gives his life for his sheep, because he loves his sheep with a love that the Bible says passes knowledge, and a love from which nothing shall ever be able to separate you. I want the wonder of those words to sink in, because it is so often the case that when we have a passage of Scripture that is so familiar, that it can lose some of its wonder. The Lord, David says, the Lord, every Christian can say, is my shepherd. This, here we have the God of heaven and earth, the creator of the ends of the earth, who takes up, the Bible says, the isles as a little thing, and he counts the nations as a drop in a bucket. This great Redeemer who is mighty to save, who is unapproachable in the brightness of his majesty, who is good and faithful and kind, you and I can say, I'm His. He's mine. Do you understand? That's why David says, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now, isn't that what we want for our children? We want that our children would, as maybe an older generation might say, would want for nothing. That they would have everything, every good thing that they need. And the question on our end isn't whether we're willing, but whether we are able to. It's not that we're maybe unwilling to care for them or provide for them or give them what they might need, but it's whether we can. But here in the psalm, there is no question that He is able. That He is able to provide these things. And it seems to me, as I think on those words this morning, there's no question in my mind that the one who the Bible says takes up the lambs and carries them close to his heart will ensure that our fatherless children shall not want. And that's why David, with bold confidence, knowing nothing about the particulars of the coming days, says, I shall not want. As if to say, how can I want anything when I have Him? How can I truly lack anything when I have God? In one hand, that David knows that with a shepherd like the shepherd he has, with Christ, that he's going to be very well cared for. Remember how the Apostle Paul put it? He said, if God would give His Son, if He would actually give His Son for us to die, how will He not with Him, with His Son, give Him all things? If he wouldn't spare his only son, surely he's not going to withhold anything that's truly good for us from us. But David's also saying, he's not only saying that, he's also saying, having him, having the Lord, I have all. I have everything. You see, that is the great reality that explains the rest of the psalm. Over and over again, we read here about what the Lord, the shepherd's going to do. He makes me lie down. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. And if none of that is a surprise, if we understand the beginning of the psalm, of course all of that is true because he's our shepherd and we are his sheep. Now again, when we say that, we're not talking only about the sovereignty of God. We're not only talking about what we call the providence of God, how he rules over all the particular details of our lives. It's not just about his ability to protect you. We're talking about him, the shepherd himself. You see, David understands, and you and I need to understand, that it's because I have him, because you have him, that you can say, I shall not want. Other things may be taken from me. My very life may be taken from me, but not God, not my shepherd. Which brings us then second to this valley of death. You have the opening verses where he speaks with such beautiful language of how the Lord, his shepherd, will lead him and beside the still waters, cause him to lie down in green pastures, restores his soul, leads him in the paths of righteousness. And then all of a sudden in verse 4 he says, yes or yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You see, David still knows the Lord is my shepherd. That hasn't changed. You see, something is not, there's a change that's taking place, but it's not on the side of God. He's in the valley of the shadow of death, but he still has a shepherd. He's still my shepherd. That friend of sinners is still his friend. He hasn't gone anywhere. He hasn't left him. He never left him before. He's not going to leave him now. And so he says, I will fear no evil. Yes, pain may come and suffering and loss and grief, but not evil. Do you understand the difference between the two? On one hand, you and I as believers in Jesus Christ can say that not a hair of our head can be touched apart from our Father's will. The enemy cannot do any real harm to me or to you. The Father in heaven may let him touch our bodies, but he cannot touch our souls. There's a great difference between the two. The Bible says that no one shall be able to pluck you from your Father's hand. Now listen to the psalmist's reason here. He's in the valley of the shadow of death, but why isn't he afraid? I mean, if ever you were going to be afraid, wouldn't it be there? I will fear no evil. Why? Because he says, you are with me. You see, he knows on one hand, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. But it's more than just protection, because there's no assurance here that David's going to make his way out of the valley of the shadow of death. He knows I'm not going to be forsaken. That's the reality that he's clinging to. You see, one day Jesus will. One day Jesus is going to go to Calvary and he's going to be forsaken so that I won't. But you and I can say, I will not be alone. I will never be alone. I may be in the shadow of death, but the Lord is still my shepherd. So that even here in this dark place, I cannot want for anything that is good for me, because he's with me. And he's going to keep me. I wish that I could have been there for Matt. But he was not alone. I know that numbers of us, I'm sure the same is true of many who have loved him. If only to have been with him just in those final moments to say a word, to say a prayer, to tell him that they loved him. But he wasn't alone. The Lord Jesus was with him then. He was there not only to bring him home to glory, but he was there to comfort him in those last, very last moments of trial before the glory of heaven. Perhaps whispering to his heart, I will care for your wife and your children. William Jay, he said these beautiful words. He said, are you called to leave behind you those who seem to hang on your care? Hear the Savior at your dying bed say, leave your fatherless children. I will preserve them alive. Now, of course, I don't know what I will face in this life or what you may have to face. I can tell you that as an under-shepherd, I think it's right and it's good that the instinct of an elder or pastor is to protect the sheep. And I think we all know that instinct, don't we, about those we care about. And yet we watch them leave our homes, and if we thought when they were in our homes they were safe, we watch them leave our homes and we realize they're no longer in our hands, they're no longer under any sense in which they're under our protection. But they are in His hands. And the Bible says He neither slumbers nor sleeps. He is your keeper at your right hand. And I'll tell you, that's a great comfort for me, that the Lord is your shepherd. And He shall go with you. And never will you know an hour when you cannot say, you, Thou art with me. What a glorious thing that is. But then I want you to look third at what's coming. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, every single Christian can say that. Every believer in Christ can say, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Looking forward to tomorrow. Do you get the sense that there are no guarantees? You know, we don't know what tomorrow will hold. But brothers and sisters in Christ, we do know that goodness and mercy will follow us. It's as though the language is as though we're being chased all the days of our life. As if relentlessly God were following us with goodness and with mercy. Spurgeon, he said years ago, I shall never be able to outrun the goodness and mercy of God. Now he doesn't say, David doesn't say, prosperity is going to follow me all the days of my life. He doesn't expect to be spared pain. He doesn't expect to be spared loss or suffering. What he does expect is that he shall never be without God's goodness. And he'll never be without God's mercy. What a marvelous truth. You know, as sinners, we hear this regularly, don't we? But as sinners, we stand in need of grace and mercy more than anything else. And David is saying, that's the one thing that I shall always have. God will never cease to deal with me in mercy. And not only that, but He shall always, always be good to me. Now the Bible does admit that there are times when He seems to hide His face as He chastises. that He chastises like a good father chastises. He does it because He loves us. And He never ever forgets His promises. He never ceases to be good to His sheep. Isaiah 54 says, "The mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but My kindness shall not depart from you, neither shall the covenant of My peace be removed, says the Lord that has mercy on you." Now, do you see then what that means for you if you are believing on Christ? Some things will not always be there in your life. Some good things true of your life today will not always be true of your life. But God will always be for you. And being for you, He will never cease to be good to you. Now, we're not always going to understand. We won't always be able to make the connections and to trace it and to figure out how this is possibly for any good at all. Because His ways, the Bible says, are higher than our own. And His perspective is eternal. It's not like our perspective. But we have His word for it. This is the One we must never forget. This is the One who speaks, who sent His own Son for us. This is the One who chose to adopt us as His own. Surely, when He says that He loves us, we can trust Him. And when He says His compassions fail not, we can believe Him. He is the best of fathers. And He is the best of friends. Now I want you to understand what gives David his confidence. It's not David. It's this good shepherd who is my shepherd. And that brings David to the very end of the psalm. He has told us what is true of this life. On one hand, I have the shepherd and I shall not want. And He leads me beside still waters. He speaks of that valley of the shadow of death. But now he looks ahead to glory. You have to remember, David was a man who desired a better country. And I want you to notice the certainty of the language. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now remember, David's a man, if you read the Psalms, he's a man who loved the temple. Why did he love the temple? He loved it because it was there in the temple that he was allowed to meet with God. And it's something like you and I, how we have found that some of the times we've had the nearest experiences of God, the closest times of communion have been in the church and it's been gathered for worship. David loved the church for that reason. It was there, he said, that I can gaze upon the beauty of my God, not with these physical eyes, but by faith. But now, here he speaks of his home in glory. For he knows, I will be forever, forever with God. And he's so sure, I will dwell there. It's not only I hope to dwell there, I will dwell there. And I wanted to remind you this morning that that's a great part of God's design. We're so earthbound that we forget that sometimes. We become so caught up in the affairs of this life, we forget that here was a great, great part of God's design. Sin had brought death, this terrible thing. But Christ came to defeat death. And He came to bring home a people. He could have left us, but He wasn't willing to do that. Which is why He pleaded with the Father for us and said, "Father, I want them to be with Me in glory." As He seemed to almost, in a sense, reason with the Father, as He said, "Father, You said it's Your will that of all those You've given Me, I should lose nothing." And brothers and sisters, He is risen, just as He said, so that we can say, "Oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory?" Now death hasn't been taken from us, but its sting has. And our dear brother's body is going to be laid in a grave this week. But that grave will have no victory over him. Now that Christian, and I say this to you as a Christian, those who know Christ, that's your hope. That's your hope. And it's not because of what you have done, but because of what Jesus has done. If you believe on him and you can say, I know that my Redeemer lives. If like the disciples you can say in your lowest moments, to whom else shall we go? Then you can say with the psalmist, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He is my shepherd and he will always be my shepherd. If you go home today remembering nothing else, remember that by faith, Jesus Christ is your shepherd. And being your shepherd, he will always, always be your shepherd. Now I think that like David, you have found that one of the wonders of being a Christian is the joy of being able to talk with God. Isn't that one of our greatest joys? That we can meet with God. We can tell our God, tell our Lord Jesus our sorrows, our troubles. And we have the Holy Spirit who is such a great comforter. You know, since the day you first believed, and as the song says, heaven came down and glory fills your soul, you have found as a Christian something wonderful. And that wonderful thing you've discovered is the glorious reality that this great and good God is your God. And he loves you. The very names of the people of God are engraved upon the palms of his hands, the Bible says. So they went to Calvary for you. And he will without fail bring you home to heaven. Now, if you and I can say here in this world, where as the Bible says, we see through a glass darkly, we don't have the vision to see what we might see. We cannot see what the angels can see. We cannot see what the redeemed in glory can see. If we here can say, I shall not want, think what you will be able to say then. When you look on his face, the face of your Redeemer, and you say, the Lord my shepherd. I want to encourage you today to think of what a wonderful thing it will be for us to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David knew, I will be with my faithful Savior, and I will be with him, and that will never end. Just think for a moment what it will be like to be surrounded by those we have loved, and to hear their voices again, mixed with ours, singing once again together the praises of God. Loving the one who has so well loved us. I'm going to close this morning with the words of a hymn. It's an old hymn. Charles Gabriel said this. He said, when all my labors and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me. When by the gift of his infinite grace I am accorded in heaven a place, just to be there and to look on his face, will through the ages be glory for me. Friends will be there I have loved long ago, joy like a river around me will flow. Yet just a smile from my Savior I know, will through the ages be glory for me. Amen. Let's stand together as we pray. Our faithful Father, we're so thankful that we can say, the Lord is my shepherd. We shall not want. Because you will always be our shepherd. And we are grateful that you are with your dear sheep, even in the valley of the shadow of death, that your people can say in the darkest moments, you, O God, are with me. And our Father, we rejoice in the knowledge that goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. And that as we look to the future, we know that all the uncertainties of this life are in many ways nothings beside the great glory, the great reality that we shall be forever and ever with God. Our Father, we pray that that truth would be brought home to us today. That we would live less for this world. It would seem less real to us in light of the greater reality of heaven. Again, our Father, we thank you that as many of us individually say, the Lord is my shepherd, that we can say of others, we can say of Jen and these children, the Lord is their shepherd. We know that you will care for them. We pray together that you would help us to fix our eyes upon Jesus Christ, that we may together glory in him, whether having much or having little, whether in sorrow or in joy, that we would glory in the cross of our King and look to the future with joy because we have you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing together from our hymn book number 87.